Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin, Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Tes Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, with the words Ve'ikal Lishma. We had learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara had quoted a braisa that had taught us a number of ways Sheshavu Gittay Noshim L'Shichur Avodim, in which Gittay Noshim and Shtarei Shichur for Avodim are similar. And the Gemara asked the question at the end of yesterday's shiur, are there no other similarities to be mentioned in this braisa? And the Gemara continues asking such a question. V'ikal Lishma, the halacha that a get has to be written Lishma, and the halacha that a shtar shichru has to be written Lishma, is another similarity that exists between gittim and shtar shichru. And therefore, ask the Gemara, why isn't it mentioned in the braisa? Ask the Ktzois, this how to free an eved, we don't necessarily need a shtar shichur. We could have a shtar akna, a regular sale transaction document that will indicate we're freeing the slave, we're selling him, so to speak, to himself. So perhaps that's why the Brites omitted the case of Lishma, because not every shtar shichur needs to be Lishma. If one worded the shtar shichur in the form of a shtar kinyan, it would be effective as the ktsais, even if it wasn't Lishma. Answers the ktsais. The Gemara tells us, we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem, that how could a shtar shichur be effective? Don't we know that there's a rule, as we explained in the previous shiur, Koma Shekana Eved Kana Rabbi? So as soon as the Eved receives the Shtar Shichur, it should not be effective because he doesn't have a Yad. He doesn't have the ability to purchase something since he's totally under the control of his Adoy. And the answer the Gemara gives is Gitoy V'Yadoy Boin Ke'echad. The two actions, his freedom and defectiveness of the shtar, come simultaneously. Such a rule, says the Ktzois, can only be said by an effective shtar shichur, by a shtar shichur that was written properly lishma. And therefore, the only way to free an eved is with an effective shtar shichur that was written lishma. Dimrei Moshe gives a different answer. We're going to learn the halacha is that a shtar shichur is even effective bal karcha, even against the will of the eved. However, when is a shtar shichur effective bal karcha? Only when it was written properly, when it was written lishma. In other words, according to Imre Moshe, the halacha would be that somebody could free his eved through a shtar kinyan, but then he could not free him bal karcha. In order to be able to free his eved bal karcha, the halacha is that it has to be written lishma. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rabba, according to Rabba, who explained already at the beginning of our Masechta, that the reason we say b'fani nechtam is because of lishma. Hayna ma'al chamayvi, when the Braisa taught us that when one brings a get or when one brings a shtar shichru, they have to say b'fani nechtam, included in that is the understanding that it has to be lishma. El Rav, who explained that the reason we say b'fani nechtam is because of kiyum, so why doesn't the Braisa mention this din of lishma? Furthermore, asked the Gemara, v'su bein l'rav and bein l'rav, we have a question. Ikim mechubar, the halacha is that a get and a shtar shichur cannot be written on something that's mechubar l'karka, unlike other shtaris. So why doesn't the Braisa list this similarity? And Tosfos uses this Gemara to prove a concept that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. We spoke about Befarei Nechta Befarei Nechtam representing that the get was written Lishma. And we discussed, does it also represent that all the other halachas that a get has to have in its writing were fulfilled? there were Rishonim that in fact we quoted said that it's not just Lishma that's represented with the Befani Nechta. Really, all the halakas of a get are represented with the Befani Nechta. Says Taisus, if that were true, so what's the Gemara's question that why doesn't the Braisa mention Mechubar? It's included in Ma'alach HaMevi. It's included in Befani Nechta. The fact that the Gemara does ask this question, says Taisus, is a clear indication that Befani Nechta, according to Rava, strictly speaks to the special, unique din of Lishma, and not to the other dinim like Mechubar. Answers the Gemara, Kiktani, what type of halachas were mentioned in this braisa? Psula drabonim, halachas that disqualify the get or the shtar shichur midrabonim. The raisa loktani, something that was only mentioned with the raisa wasn't mentioned. Ask the Gemara for akosh of kachavim, the halacha that a get that's processed by akosh of the kachavim is mentioned as one of the dinim, and that's a psula deraisa. It's a psula deraisa yet viktani. And as Mefarshim explained, we quoted in the previous shir a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos holds that goyim are disqualified under all circumstances from doing any shtaris. The only time, and when we do learn and will learn that they are qualified, it's only din the rabbanim. So our Gemara's question is very understandable. Goyim are excluded midaraisa. So why is it mentioned in this braisa? But even according to Rashi, that says that goyim are kosher edim midaraisa, that's only by shtarei kinyan. However, by gittin or shtarei shichur, which are goyim are not, which are not relevant to goyim, even Rashi says their disqualification is midaraisa. So if we're saying that the braisa is not mentioning Dina midaraisa, why was this din mentioned? Answers the Gemara be'edim misira. When the Braisa says that the get was processed by a non-Jewish court, there were Jewish edim misira, and the Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer Dama edim misira karti, that says that the edim that watch the transfer of the get are what make the get effective. And therefore, midaraisa, this get is a good get. Just even Rabbi Lozer, who holds that we don't have to even have edich sima, Rabbi Lozer agrees that if we have edich sima, they have to be kosher edich sima. And here, since they're non-Jewish, they're disqualified to be they disqualify the get midarabanan. And that's why it's a din derabanan that's mentioned here. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain that this Bryce is following, that this Tanakama is following the opinion of Rabbi Lozer, the Midiktani Sefer, as we continue learning the Mishnah, Rav Shimon, who disagrees with Tanakama, says, Af Eluk Sherit, even Gittin or Shtar Shichur, that were processed by non-Jewish courts are valid. Vam Rab Zeir explained, Yor Rav Shimon l'shitasa Rabbi Lezer, because Rav Shimon was following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, the Oid Dam Edim Sira Karti, and therefore even though we had non-Jewish Edich Sima, it doesn't invalidate these documents because we're going to rely on the Jewish Edim Sira. So it's obvious that Rav Shimon is the man, the Amma, that follows the opinion of Rav Elazar. The Tanakama doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Elazar. So how are we explaining that the Tanakama follows Rav Elazar's opinion? Bechlal, the Tanakama Savaloi, he doesn't follow Rav Elazar's opinion. Answers the Gemara, both the Tanakama and Rav Shimon follow the opinion of Rav Elazar, that's Edim Sira Karti. And Edich Sima are not required. Ike Benayu, so what is the machloikis? Machloikis is Shemus Mufakim. If we're going to have a get or shtar shichur signed by non-Jews, and it's obvious that non-Jews signed the shtar, because it's obvious non-Jewish names, as we're going to learn on Daf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph. According to Reb Shimon, since it's obvious that this shtar was signed by non-Jews, if we follow the opinion of Reb Elazar, the get will be a valid get. The shtar shechor will be a valid shtar shechor. Because the only reason, explained the Rishonim, Reb Elazar holds that if we use not non-Jews to sign a shtar get or shtar shechor, do they invalidate it midrabanan? Because there's a concern that if we're going to use them for edich sima, we may come to use them to be the edim mesira. However, where it's obvious that they're non-Jews, says Rav Shimon, we don't have that concern, and therefore they get is a kosher get. The Tanakhama, however, disagrees, and he holds that even when it's obvious that they're non-Jews who are the edich sima, we're still concerned that we may come at a certain point to use goyim for edim asira. Chazal made a gzeirah shemus mufhakim because of shemus she'ena mufhakim. Or another way of explaining that even if it's obvious that they're non-Jews, error may be made and we may end up using them as edim asira. Therefore, the Tanakhama holds that Rabbi Elazar will hold that not only when non-Jews who have shemus she'ena mufhakim are signed on a shtar is a possible madrabanan, but even when it's obvious, does the Tanakhama hold Rabbi Elazar will passel, but it's only midrabanan. Ask the Gemara. So at this point, the Gemara is saying that the only cases listed in the Braisa were cases that are disqualified midrabanan. Ask the Gemara for Chazara, the case that we spoke about. After someone gives a shlich a get, or after someone gives a shlich a shtar shichur, until it was actually delivered to the woman, or until it was actually delivered to the eved, he can retract. That's a din midaraisa, and yet v'ktani, the braisa teaches it. And now we just said that the braisa isn't teaching us dinim daraisa. Answers the Gemara el ki ktani. What kind of cases are the braisa mentioning? Milsa the leisa b'kedushin. Dinim that do not apply to shtari kedushin. However, milsa the isa b'kedushin, something that applies to shtari kedushin like tani. Therefore, the halachas that I mentioned and Rashi and Rishonim go to great length to explain each one of these halachas, why they're only applicable by shtari gitin and shtari shichur and not by shtari kedushin. The halacha, the funny nechtam, has to be said, is only by a get. That Chazal said that the get should be confirmed upon delivery, that otherwise we're concerned that somebody is going to be ma'arer. By shtar kedushin, this reasoning doesn't apply. If the woman who receives the shtar kedushin is concerned that there's something wrong with the shtar kedushin, she should just not accept it and will not be married. The next halacha, that if kutim sign a get or shtar shichur, it's valid. That's only by these two cases that Chazal mishim iguna make this kula, not by shtar kedushin. The next thing that we just discussed, that if it was signed by goyim, it's invalid. It's only going to be by shtar by gitay nashim and shtar shichur. Because we were concerned, as we just learned, that if we're going to use them for Eidei Chsima, we may come to use them for Eidei Mesira. And therefore, Chazal said that they invalidate these documents even when they're only the Eidei Chsima. But really, the document is a valid document. So let's think about this. It comes out that midoraisa, this woman, is a Mekudeshes. In a situation where a woman is really an Eish HaSish Midaraisa, the Rabbanan do not have the authority to say that because of a Gzeira, we're going to say that she's not an Eish HaSish. Chazal could only be Machmer and not be Mekim. The Rishonim discuss that the fact that the Braisa didn't mention the din of Mechuber, it comes to point out that Mechuber, a Shtar Kedushin, that's mechuber is disqualified. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this din. The simplest way of understanding is that if a man decides to marry his wife through a shtar kedushin, like we know the first Mishnah Masechta Kedushin teaches us that that's one of the effective ways of creating kedushin, that shtar may not be mechuber. However, there's a discussion if somebody is mekadesh his wife with kedusha kesef, is there also a disqualification if that kesef is mechuber or not? The subject of machlokes rishonim. Similarly, when we say that a shtar kedushin, we just said, is disqualified when it's mechuber, here too there's a somewhat of a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim, as it seems Rashi learns, say that under all circumstances it's disqualified. However, there are rishonim that suggest that if the shtar kedushin was written when it was mechuber, but it was detached from the ground, and by the time it was given to the woman, it was no longer mechuber, then the shtar would indeed be a valid shtar, unlike a get, that if it was written under such circumstances, would remain disqualified forever. Tosfos asks, why doesn't the Braisa mention another din? That if the shtar doesn't have a date, by gittin and by shtar shichur, the shtar is disqualified. By all other shtaris, it's not disqualified. So Tosfos answers, since people, as we know from many sugyas and shas, always write a date on a shtar, not just by gittin and shtar is shichur, so it became common that all shtaris have a date, and therefore it's not mentioned as a unique din to gittin and shtar is shichur. Ask the Gemara, v'chazor gufa isa b'gedushin. This halacha that we're saying now, that the only halachas that are mentioned in the Braisa are halachas that only apply by shtar is shichur and gittin, noshim. The halacha of chazor, that don't apply by kedushin. The din of chazara also applies, as the Gemara, to kedushin. If someone sent a shliach to be mekadesh an isha and he retracted his shlichus prior to him arriving to the woman, the halach is that she's not mekudeshes. So why is chazara mentioned as one of the unique attributes of gitei noshim and shtar shichur? Answers the Gemara: b'shlichus b'karcha. We're referring to shlichus b'karcha, to begerushin isa or begedushin leisa. As the Rashba explains Rashi, what the Gemara is answering is as follows. A woman could be divorced bal karcha. A eved could be freed bal karcha against his will. But a woman cannot become mukudeshes bal karcha against her will. And therefore, since this is different, the fact that it's different, that's why it's not mentioned. And Reb Nachum explains what the Rashba is coming to teach us. Reb Nachum says that the Rashba means to say as follows. Why is the halacha that if someone appointed a shliach, can he retract before the shliach does a shlichus? Because the halacha is osa dibur umavatal dibur. A statement that's made, one set of words can be mevatal another set of words. Says Reb Nachum, since the halacha is that a woman can be divorced by karcha and a eved can be freed by karcha, that might lead us to believe that that action of appointing a shliach to deliver a get, of appointing a shliach to deliver a shtar shichur, is not just a dibur, it's actually a maisa. It's a very strong act, because we see that it could be done by karcha. And therefore the halacha of osi dibur umavatal dibur ought not to apply. That's why the Braisa needs to teach us that even though they could be done by karcha, the concept of osi dibur umavatal dibur applies. However, by Kedushin, it's certainly not any more than just Dibur. And since by Kedushin, it's not any more than just Dibur, certainly the concept of Asi Dibur and Vatal Dibur applies, and there is no need for the Braisa to teach us this din. The Noida Behuda wants to suggest that even before the Chayrun the Rabbeinu Gershim, there might be a din that even though we could divorce a woman, a wife, Bal Karcha, that's only when a wife is being divorced directly from the husband. The husband is giving the wife the get. But in a case where the wife was being divorced by the get being delivered by a shliach, then it cannot be done Bal Karcha. However, many Achroinim take exception with the opinion of the Noida Behuda, and their raya is our Gemara, because our Gemara says clearly that begerishin, that even by gerishin, which are done through a shliach, the concept of bal karcha applies. Says the Mishnah, kol get sheyesh lo eid kuti pasul, any get that has on it an eid kuti as pasul, chutz megitei nashim v'shkur evadim, except for gitei nashim v'shkur evadim, there we have an eid kuti, the get or the shtar shikhur is kosher. Obviously, the Rishayim explain, our Mishnah is following the opinion that kutim are gerei emes, and therefore they're considered full-fledged Jews, and therefore they can be witnesses on a get isha or a shtar shikhur. And the Avin Ozel asks, even if we'll say that they're gerei emes, but we know that they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, so shouldn't that disqualify their status as Jews? Says the Avin Ozel, since the reason they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh is only because that's the way they were brought up, that's what they saw by their fathers, so they remain in the category of Tinik Shenishba, and they will not be disqualified. Ask the Mefarshim, our Mishnah is distinguishing between a get Isha and a Shikhar Avodim, where there the Kutim are kosher Edim, versus all other shtaris where we say that they're disqualified. And as Rashi explained why they're disqualified, Shechshudim, they were concerned that they're going to testify falsely. So the question is, if we have such a concern, why don't we have this concern by Gitei Noshim and Shtari Shechur? Explains the Pnei Yeshua. We don't know for sure that these Edi Kutim, the Kutim Hor Edim, testify falsely. It's only a chash. It's only a concern. So therefore, by Dine Mominus, we're going to be Machmer and say that since we have this concern, they should not be used as Edim. By Gitei Noshim and Shtari Shichur, we're not going to be Machmer and we will consider them acceptable. Says the Mishnah, Maisa Shavil of Nera Gumliel, Lekfaros Noi, there was an incident where they brought a get to Gamliel and Kfaras Noi, get Isha, via Eid of Kutim, there were Eid of Kutim signed it, Behirsha. Ask the Gemara Mani Masnisim. And as the Maram Shif explains the Gemara, our Gemara doesn't ask why is there a difference between Shtarei Shichur and Gitei Noshim versus all other Shtaris. Because we just finished successfully explaining that they're different. And not that we know for sure that the Kutim are Edei Sheker. So our Gemara's question only is that we need to find a Tana whose opinion will be able, that we will be able to explain our Mishnah that it follows that opinion. Because Mani Amas Nisan, our Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of any Tana. Loi Tana Kama, V'loi Rabbi Lozer, V'loi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It doesn't seem to follow any of the opinion of these Tanoim. The Tanya, Matzah kuti mataris, the matzah that a kuti bakes is mutter. V'adam yotz b'yidei chavos v'pesach, and it can be used to fulfill the mitzvah on the first night of Pesach. As Rashi and Tosfos explain, there are two concepts in matzah. One is that we have to make sure that it's not chametz. The second is that then is that on the first night of Pesach we have to eat matzah shmura, matzah that was made to fulfill the mitzvah of mitzvahs matzah, v'shmartem as a matzah. And the Tanakhama is teaching us that kutim can be trusted not only to make sure that this matzah is not chometz, but they could even be trusted that they made the matzah properly, l'shem mitzvahs matzah. And the Farshim point out that from Rashi it seems that the obligation to eat matzah shmura is only on the first night of Pesach. However, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes other Rishonim that say that there's such a mitzvah for all of the days of Pesach. Ask Tosfos, then why isn't there a different problem here? The halacha is that pas kuti, the bread of a kuti is asur. So this matzah is pas kuti. So Tosfos answers that we're referring to a situation where the Jew made the dough, and after a Jew made the dough, the kuti continued the processing of this dough into a matzah. That's why it's not pas kuti. Another teretz that Tosfos gives in Masechta Kedushin, that's referring to a situation where the kuti is baking and making these matzahs in the home of a Jew, and therefore there is no concern of pas kuti. But ask Tosfos another question. We know that the Torah tells us lifnei evil oisitei mishal. And our understanding of lifnei evil oisitei mishal means that we have to be careful not to cause someone else to transgress an avera. Kutim don't translate the pasuk that way. So kuti has no problem serving a Jew matzah, which is not kosher matzah. So why are we concerned with the lifnei evil oisitei mishal? Answers Tosfos that we're referring to a situation that the kuti himself is using these matzahs to be mekayim, the mitzvah of matzah. And therefore, we see him using it for himself, we know that it's considered, that it's fine matzah. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar oyser, he says, l'fi she'im b'kiyim b'dikduke matzahs. They're not careful to make matzahs properly. And as the Mefarshim explained, according to Belezer, not only are they not familiar in doing shimur properly, they're also not familiar in how to prevent the matzah from becoming chametz. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol mitzvah shechzikah b'kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim follow, harbi medekim b'yosim yisrael, they're even more scrupulous than the Jews. And the Mefarshim, the Gemara, in Masech Techulin, discusses what is the nafkamina between the opinion of the Tanakhama and the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And the Gemara, according to the Maskana there in the Gemara Masech Techulin, comes out with the following. If something is in the Torah, and we don't know if they, something's a deraisa, but we don't know if they observe it. According to the Tanakhama, we assume that anything that's in the Torah, they follow. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't. So in this case, Rav Shimon Gamliel is a machmer. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even something that's a deraisa, we have to know specifically that the kutim observed that din. And otherwise we can't. Otherwise we can't rely on them. But then we have a case where Rav Shimon Gamliel is lakula. Something that's only a drabonon. According to the Tanakhama, if it's only a mitzvah drabonon, we don't trust the kutim. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if we know that the kutim follow this din, even though it's only the rabbanon, we can trust them. That's how Tosfos explains the maskana Masech Techulin. According to the Ramban, there's a different explanation. If it's only the machloikis is only by a drabbanon, where Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that if we know that they follow it, we can accept them, and if we don't know, we can't. But by the Raisa, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we always can rely on them. And according to the Rabbanon, according to Tanakhama, we can never rely on them by din the Rabbanon. So now the Gemara tries to analyze who is the Tanavam Mishnah. Mani. E Tanakhama, if it's following the opinion of Tanakhama, afilu shtar sharis nami. Even other shtaris, we should allow kutim to sign. Why is the halacha that kutim, as our Mishnah taught us, are not acceptable for shah shtaris? Irabel Azar, afil get isha namilai. And if it's following the opinion of Elazar. Rav Elazar says we can never trust Kutim, and if it's following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, here Shimon Gamliel, Ida Achsuk, if we know that they observe these laws, I feel a shashtar misnami, Ida loy Achsuk, I feel a gay Isha nami loy, then we shouldn't even be able to rely on the forget Isha. V'chi tema, and if we'll try to suggest that the Tan of our Mishnah is of Shimon Gamliel, and he holds, or the Achsuk Baha, that the Kutim were careful regarding Gitei Noshim and Shtari Shichur V'loy Achsik Bahar, but they weren't careful regarding Shah Shtaris, Ihachi, so why is the Halacha that by Gitei Noshim, my Iri Echad, why is only one Kuti trusted, Afilu Trei Nami, then we should even allow two Kutim to be Edim on Gitei Noshim and Shtari Shichur. Alama Omer Abelazor, Loy Hechshiraboy El Kuti Bilvad, we only allowed, when we are going to allow by Shtari Shichur and Gitei Noshim a Kuti, it's only one, not two Kutim. And it's the Gemara Lailam Rav Elazar. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Elazar, who holds that Kutim can generally not be counted on. However, here we're referring to a case, going to Chosim Yisrael B'Soif. First, the Kuti signed, and below the signature of the Kuti, there is the signature of a Jew. The Elav, the Kuti Chavahu, were it not a situation that this Kuti is a reliable person, he would never allow a Jew to sign this shtar. He would never have signed the shtar below him. And therefore, the fact that a Jew signed his name under the Kuti's name is a proof that this Kuti is a Kuti that's a chaver that follows properly. Ask Tosfos, if so, this entire get is being validated only by one person, by the signature of the Jew whose name appears below the name of the Kuti. Answers Tosfos, that really the Kuti is kosher, as we're learning, our Gemara follows the opinion of the Kutim Geri Emes. He's really a full-fledged Jew. We only have a chashash that maybe there's something wrong with this Kuti, maybe this Kuti isn't following the halacha properly. So as soon as we have any hoichacha, as soon as we have any indication that that concern doesn't apply here, by the fact that the Jew signed his name below the name of a Kuti, that then we say that the Kuti is a full-fledged Jew, and it's being signed, the shtar is validated by two fine signatures. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way a shtar could be validated, then all shtaris, if we have the Jew signing his name below the name of the Kuti, the shtar should be a good shtar. El Amrinan, we don't say that, because we're concerned that Rav Keshavich Laman the Koshish Menei. And as Rashi explains the situation, there were two Jews and a Kuti there witnessing a transaction. The younger Jew was asked to sign the shtar. He was sure who will be the other person asked to sign the shtar, the older Jew. And therefore, in respect to the older Jew, he signed his name on the bottom. Then the person writing the shtar or creating the shtar, instead of asking the other Jew to sign the shtar, asked the Kuti to sign the shtar, and therefore the Jew whose name appears below the name of the Kuti is not an indication that this shtar is a good, that this Kuti is a chaver. Because we have to be concerned, Rav Keshavach Laman de Kosh Shmenei, when the Jew signed the shtar, he signed it under the assumption that the upper line will be signed by the older Jew, and that's not what happened. And therefore his signature is not a proof that the Kuti is a chaver. So hochinami, so why don't we say by the get the same thing, that Rav Keshavach Laman de Kosh Shmenei, and just because a Jew is signed below the name of a Kuti, it shouldn't be an indication that the Kuti is a chaver. Amra Papa, says Rav Papa, Gitei Noshim and Shtari Shichur have a different din. Zois Ameris, Eidei Get, Ein Chayfin Zeh Loi Bezeh. Gitim cannot be signed by one without the presence of the other. My Tama, why did Chazal make such a rule? Amar V'Ashi, Gzer Mishum Kelcha. Chazal made a special rule. That let's say a husband was writing a get for his wife in front of a number of witnesses. And he says, Kulchem, all of you should write the get for my wife. This is considered a stipulation that the husband means that the get will only be valid if all of these people sign the get. Otherwise, the get will be disqualified. That's why Chazal said that in all cases, a get must be signed in the presence of each witness, in the presence of the other one. So if a Jew signed below the name of a Kuti, it's clear that the Jew was there when the Kuti signed. And if he signed his name below the Kuti's name, it must be because the Kuti is a chaver. But this then doesn't apply by all shtaris. And therefore, the signature of a Jew below the name of a Kuti is in no way an indication that this shtar is a valid shtar. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, "Lehuchshe ela eid echid kuti bilvad." Chazal said that only one kuti could sign a shtar. Asked the Gemara, "My kamashmon, what's Rabbi Elazar teaching us? Tanina, isn't that what we learned explicitly in our Mishnah? Kol get sheyesh lo eid kuti pasul. Only one kuti is pasul by other shtaris, and by get only one kuti could be kosher." Answers the Gemara, "Im masnisan, if we learned our Mishnah." Havamina afil trei nami. Even two kutim could sign a get. I v'hadik tanichat. So why did the Mishnah teach us the case where there's only one kuti signing? To teach us the extreme difference by shtaris. Because by shtaris, as we just finished learning, afil chad namiloi. Even one kuti disqualifies the shtar. That's why Rabbi Elazar comes to teach us that even though by a get and by shtar shichrur we're saying that a kuti could sign, only one kuti could sign. However, for trei loy, now we're explaining that two kutim are not qualified to sign a get or shtar shichrur. Ask the Gemara of Oktani, we learned in our Mishnah, Maisav Avilof Nei Rabbi Gamliel L'Kfas Noi Get Isha V'ya Eidov Eid Kutim. This get was brought in front of Rabbi Gamliel, and there was Eidov, plural, two Eidim, the Hichshur. So we see that even if the both Eidim are Kutim, the get is kosher. Rabbi answered, because of this question, answers Tani, says we should change the wording of a Mishnah and say Eidoi. There was only one Eid who was a Kuti. There were in this case indeed two kutim. Rav Gamliel miflek polag, and Rav Gamliel actually disagrees with the machloikis in our Mishnah. V'chsuri mechsir v'achkatani, and this is the way to understand our Mishnah. Rav Gamliel machsh b'shnayim. Rav Gamliel says that two kutim also are kosher to sign a get. And in fact, the Mishnah brings a story to corroborate that. Umaisa nami sheivil ifnei Rav Gamliel chvas noi get isha v'haya edov eid kutim tu edim v'hichsha. And as the Mefarshim explain, what is the machloikus between the Tanakama and Rav Gamliel? The Tanakama holds that even though we trust the Fagitei Noshim, we can't completely rely on them, and because they're not really familiar with all of the halachas, and therefore we only rely on one eid kuti, and Rav Gamliel doesn't have that concern. Says the Mishnah, all shtaris that are processed in non-Jewish courts, even if the witnesses who signed these shtaris are non-Jews, ksherim, are valid. Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, af el ksherim, even gittin and shtar shechur signed by Ovdei Kechavim are kosher. Lehuskra elvas manchin nasu behedyut. There's only a problem when they were made behedyut, something that we'll explain more in the next year. Says the Gemara, we know that there are two types of shtaris. There's something known as shtari mecher and something known as shtari matana. Shtari mecher means that the shtar is that there was a mecher, there was a transaction. And the document is only here as a shtar raya. It's only here to testify that this transaction indeed happened. A shtar matana is a shtar that actually affects, that causes the deal to happen. So our Mishnah that says that Oidei Kechavim are kosher for shtaris, kaposuk v'tani, doesn't make any distinction. Loishna mecher, when the shtar is only a raya, or loishna matana, when the shtar actually creates the transaction. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam mecher, we could understand why such a shtar mecher is fine. Because michiyav zuzi kamaya, as soon as the transaction, as soon as the money was transferred, hu dekana, there was a kinyan. The shtar, The entire purpose of the shtar is raya ba'almuhu. It's only here for a raya. And therefore, the loyav zuzikumayu, had the judges and these witnesses not indeed observed that this transaction took place, loy havamaram nashayu, they wouldn't risk their reputation, v'chosn leishtara, and therefore they are qualified to write the shtar raya. However, ask the Gemara el matano b'may kakana, what affects the shtar matana? La b'hai shtara, this shtar. V'hai shtara chas b'alma. This shtar is a meaningless shtar because goyim don't have the ability to create transactions. And here we go back to the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, the midaraisa, goyim are disqualified. We understand the Gemara's question. If goyim are disqualified midaraisa, how could a shtar that's going to affect a transaction be kosher when it was written by goyim? But according to Rashi, that we've been explaining, who holds that goyim are not inherently disqualified, what's the Gemara's question? Answers the tzais. This din, that a kinyan could be affected through a shtar, is a din that was only said by Jews, not by goyim. And as we've been learning, if goyim aren't, if a din doesn't apply to goyim, they can't make a shtar, so to make such a din. So if goyim can't affect kinyonim through a shtar, they can't make such a shtar. And therefore, ask the Gemara, why isn't it a chaspa ba'alma, a mishmu, dina de mechusa dina? Since the government vests authority in these courts to affect financial transactions, that's why the shtar is effective. V'boy seima, another teretz is tani chutz mikigitin nashim. Indeed, the Mishnah doesn't only mean gitin and shtar shikhar, but even such shtaris, any shtar that affects a transaction that's not just a raya, indeed would be possible it was made by Ovdei Kochavim. There's a machloikis hamafarshim how to understand this ibay seima. Most Rishonim seem to learn the Gemara is still the ibay seima doesn't disagree with the concept of dina de machusa dina. The Gemara is just saying is that according to the Gemara's second answer, we're referring to a situation where the courts are not designated by the government to affect such transactions, so we can't apply the concept of dina de machusa dina, and therefore the goyim can't make such a shtar. However, the Arma Farshim would say that dina de machusa dina, this pshat disagrees and says that dina de machusa dina only has that much power, and dina de machusa dina doesn't have the ability to give goyim the ability to make shtaris that the Torah doesn't give them the ability. So here we encounter the concept, the well-known concept of dina de machusa dina. Machloikis Rishonim of dina de machusa dina is midaraisa, or is dina de machusa dina a din midrabbanan? Why is the halacha the dina de machusa dina? We find the machloikis Rishonim. The Rashbam says because everybody who lives in a country accepts upon them the rule of the land. Other Rishonim explain because the land belongs to the king and he could therefore enforce and force the people to do what he wants. If that's the case, some of Farshim suggest that Dina de Machusa Dina wouldn't apply in Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to the king. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. Others explain that Dina de Machusa Dina, Davina Ozel seems to explain this way, is because the halach is that since, as we learned in the previous year, the goyim also, when it's tavu al adinim, the goyim also have to follow monetary laws, and therefore they have the right to make dina de machusa dina. Others explain that the government has the same power like a bezdin, and just like we learned by a bezdin many times, there's a concept of hefker bezdin hefker, so too here will there be a concept of dina de machusa dina. I also saw a tshuva that dina de machusa dina does not have to be applied when the government makes rules for the public safety. In other words, if there's a rule that one is not allowed to cross by red light, or other rules that are made for safety and security, we don't have to rely on the concept of Dina de Mechusa Dina. That's the way a society has to work, and that's why those laws have to be followed. Another concept regarding Dina de Mechusa Dina is the Dina de Mechusa Dina only applies to rules that are applicable to Jews and non-Jews equally. But if there are rules that are being applied only to Jews and not to non-Jews, there we don't say Dina de Mechusa Dina. And this is the basis for understanding a number of Gemaras throughout Shas. The Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Ches, that Mekan Maidoi Rabba Loi Raisa. Klai Yisrael could say that they don't have to follow the Torah, because as we know, Kof Aleim Harka Gigas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced them to accept the Torah. But now the question is, Dina de Mechusa Dina. So if Dina de Mechusa Dina, so they have to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's the ultimate Dina de Mechusa. The answer is, we don't apply the concept of Dina de Mechusa when it only applies to Jews and not to non-Jews, or vice versa. And since the Torah was only given to Jews, only to one segment of the population, then we don't say Dina de Mechusa Dina. The Tzais uses this concept to explain Psukim in the Torah. We find that the Melech Mitzrayim told the Miyaldos Ivrius, told Shifra Pur, that they have to kill all the Jewish children. And then, of course, they didn't follow his directive. And he calls them and he says, why didn't you follow my directive? What did he answer him? Kiloi ki yaldos ha-mitzriyos ha-ivriyos. We don't have to follow your rule, because you made a rule that only applied to Jews and not to non-Jews. And as we just said, Dina de Mechusa Dina is only applicable if it applies to the entire population. And therefore, since this rule, you didn't apply to the entire population, we don't have to follow it. And in fact, Rav Shlomo Kluger says, that's exactly what happened with Adam HaRishon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam HaRishon and said to him, why did you eat from the Eitz HaDaatz? So he said, Isha Shenasati Imadi, the woman, the wife you gave me to eat. What kind of an answer is that? The answer is that Adam HaRishon told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this rule that you made, that one may not eat from the Eitz HaDaatz, was only to me, not to my wife. And we don't apply the concept of Dina de Mechusa Dina when something only applies to one segment of the population and not to another segment of the population, only to me and not to my wife. Because Dina de Mechusa Dina is only applicable if it applies to everyone.